dear listeners, this is Basement Gaming episode 66. My name is Herb and I'm joined by my dear cousin Brigham.
Hello.
So this episode, Brigham and I take on the third side mission episode, and we finally take a tour of the world of JRPGs, and we are being guided by a loyal listener of the podcast, JRPG expert Patrick.
Hello.
If you enjoy the show, please give us a follow on your podcast listening app of choice and on Twitter at BasementGaming9. With the formalities out of the way, welcome to Basement Gaming. Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Patrick.
Oh, here we go. Episode 3 of Side Mission. You know, this is starting to feel like when you play a really big MMO or a big RPG game and there's a main mission and a side mission, and we just keep doing side missions instead of the main quest.
The third side mission, like, dang, 3 side missions in a row. This is like a record for me. I don't think I've ever done this many side missions back in a game in my life. So
yeah, we're really exploring the world of gaming right now. Just going off into the unknown, doing things that we don't usually do, especially with this episode, because this episode we're finally taking a deep dive into JRPGs and what makes them tick. And we have someone that actually enjoys them quite a bit, and he's been very upset at how we've been talking about JRPGs the last 65 episodes. So, Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
So, I mean, go ahead and give us a little intro of yourself in terms of your gaming history. What are your earliest gaming memories? What have you been doing the last 20 some odd years of your life in terms of gaming? Like, tell us about yourself.
Okay. I've pretty much been gaming since I was like a little kid, before I even went into school. Family had a N64. Played a ton of Mario games. Ever since, we've always gotten the new Nintendo console. Eventually got the Xbox. Played Halo. And kept going from there. Pretty much game all day, every day, for like the past 20 years.
Nice. Would you say it's a pretty... It sounds like it's pretty standard. Just very similar to us. From knowing you, I know that you're a huge Nintendo stan. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I play a lot of the Mothership titles, at least. Not all of them, but I like them.
I mean, I feel like the Mothership titles is all there is.
I don't even know what Mothership is. So.
Isn't that just like Mario, Smash?
Oh, okay. Zelda. You said Mothership, Zelda. And I was like, that's some kind of like game I don't know of. I was like, is that like Earthbound related? I mean, what is that?
I feel like flagship is probably a more typical word.
Yeah.
See, Patrick is a few years younger than us, Brigham, so we're gonna have to try to keep up here.
No, yeah, yeah. We're not hip with all the new lingo, so
yeah. Mothership is more like instead of like spin-offs, like it's like the Mothership, the true.
I gotcha. It's like Mario, like you say, Mario, Zelda, those kind of games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
okay, nice.
So yeah, pretty standard stuff, but I think the place that we diverge very much so is what we're going to talk about today, which is JRPGs. So could you tell us, do you remember what was the beginning for you in terms of JRPG? What was your first JRPG experience, and kind of explain to us what about it made you so attracted to it? Like, why did you like it?
The first one would probably be the Tales of Symphonia for the GameCube.
Oh man, this is gonna be rough. I've never heard of that before in my life.
Is that like Tales of Arise?
Cool? Yeah, so it's the same series as Tales of Arise. It was one of the earlier ones. Yeah, I mean, characters are all really, really cool. Graphics at the time were nice. They have that RPG aspect where you gain skills over time.
Tales of Symphonia. Here we go. Freaking GameCube had a JRPG, bro. This is crazy.
I mean, I feel like the original Nintendo had JRPGs like Final Fantasy and stuff, right? And
Final Fantasy was on Nintendo?
Yeah, Final Fantasy, the first Final Fantasy was on NES. Yeah. Yeah.
The more you know.
See, I know some stuff, you know. I may not play JRPGs, but I know some. What's the JRPG with the blue droplet looking thing? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, what's... Dragon Quest.
Yes. I feel like
Dragon Quest.
I love that you knew what I was talking about when I said that
to you. I was like, what? Egg. Who would ever know what that is?
Dragon droplet.
Oh, this is gonna be strange. Okay. Dragon Quest. Again, something I've never heard of before in my life.
Yeah, well, I guess I just bring that up real quick because I'll just real quick say that one of the reasons why we're having you on our show today is because, as Herb has kind of shown already and we've talked about previously, neither of us are super into JRPGs. I don't really like them that much. The one JRPG I played, the first JRPG I ever played, was called Quest 64 on the Nintendo 64. I don't think anybody has ever heard of this game. I just remember seeing it at a Blockbuster and being like, wow, that looks awesome. And getting so annoyed by the random turn battles. I hated that. And I haven't really played much JRPGs besides like Pokemon and some Final Fantasy since then. So I feel like it's really useful to have someone on the show who is able to talk about a whole, you know, I don't even know if you just call it a genre, but like a whole section of games that we've never even, we haven't interacted much with.
It's funny you mentioned Pokemon. I was just about to ask, when we say Pokemon is a JRPG?
I think it's like a baby's first JRPG. What's your take on that, Patrick?
I feel like it's considered a JRPG, yeah. I mean, it's made in Japan. It's an RPG.
That's true.
I mean, how much is it? Like, I feel like you don't really level up. There's no skills and stuff, right? I mean,
they evolve. They get new skills.
They evolve. I guess it checks all the boxes. It checks out.
There's also it's a little bit more complex. Pokemon is a little bit more complex than a lot of people think because of nature's IVs and EVs.
I don't even know what.
It's like min-maxing for Pokemon. If you defeat certain Pokemon, you get higher stats based off which Pokemon you beat.
Man,
I didn't even know that.
We've dived into some real deep lore here, Bruno. This is crazy. Okay. What game did you say? Okay, Tales of Symphonia?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? So yeah. That was the first JRPG that you played that you can remember. What can you say is the most vivid thing about it that attracted you? Would you say it's the graphics? Would you say it was the storyline, the gameplay? What about it really attracted to you? And is there anything about... Oh, we'll just do that first. Let's start with that.
The thing that I like the most about is probably the storyline.
I feel like there's a lot of talking. There is a lot of talking in JRPGs, so I guess that's something that's unique from RPGs that I've played. The talking is very right in front of your face. Like, everything stops. Whereas a lot of games, there's exposition and cutscenes, but a lot of times the exposition, it goes faster. You know, you're in it for like 10 seconds, like, all right, back to gameplay. Where JRPGs, you're just sitting there watching an anime for 10 minutes at a time. Is that a fair assessment?
yeah, I would say so.
And you like this.
Yeah, they're definitely a lot longer than most, but like, it just like increases your immersion and like the lore that you get. The knowledge that you obtain, and then you like the world a little bit more every time it happens, for the most part.
I get that. It's kind of like world building, and I feel like I get that vibe from a lot of Japanese, or just any game, like in Korean games as well. Like, there's a lot of focus on world building. It's like, you need patience in a way, just because the story may seem slow, just because there is like a lot of exposition. And I'm just talking from like my limited experience. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Patrick, but it seems like a lot of the like JRPGs focus a ton on trying to build out that world as much as they're trying to tell like a single narrative story.
Yeah.
Are most, if not all, JRPGs turn-based combat or random encounter combat, would you say?
No. So actually, I don't like a lot of the turn-based JRPGs. Like Final Fantasy, I probably think is my least favorite JRPG. Sorry, wow. Sorry, Final Fantasy fans. But Pokemon, also same thing. Dragon Quest, I haven't played them, so I don't know how fun it is. But there are certain turn-based ones that are really fun, like Fire Emblem does a really good job. I think Neptunia does a really good job.
What about the most recent Persona? Isn't that turn-based also?
Yeah. Persona 5 is turn-based, but it also includes like weaknesses.
So, what like, is you, that?
So like based on the enemy, you can either use like magic or melee. And like they can like if you hit them with the right thing, they get downed and then you get like almost like an extra turn. And so there's like some strategy involved instead of like Final Fantasy where you just kind of just throw stuff out, I feel.
There's probably a lot more strategy to Final Fantasy than anyone here would know, but yeah, I think that's one thing that really pushed me away. One of the biggest things that pushed me away from JRPGs, because the first thing I was ever introduced to in terms of JRPGs was random encounters and turn-based. Two things that just like bothered me quite a lot. So, I mean, that is reassuring to know that they're not all like that, or most of them are not like that, because that was one of my big concerns.
Yeah.
What about you, Brigham? How do you feel about
those? Oh, I absolutely hate turn-based, and especially I really hate the random battles thing. Like, that's like my least favorite mechanic of any video game. The moment I find out there's random battles, it's usually a deal-breaker for me, unless it's Pokemon. But even then with Pokemon, I have like never actually beaten a Pokemon game just because I get bored two-thirds of the way through. So yeah, definitely. So it's nice to hear that. I do know, like, you know, the newer Final Fantasy games, I feel like, are veering away from the turn-based combat. And it is good to hear that. I feel like maybe it's just more of a main... Like JRPGs are evolving to a point where more and more are kind of having more action combat. So that's really good to know. And I feel like that makes it a lot more accessible. Do the Tales of Arise games, are those action? Or is that turn-based?
They are action.
Okay, yeah. That's cool.
And they have the dodge mechanic, like a lot of like Dark Souls games.
Oh,
okay.
That's interesting.
It's a dodge mechanic. I wouldn't say it's like the Dark Souls dodge mechanic. You can dodge. You can dodge. I remember like in Final Fantasy, do you like Final Fantasy a little bit more now, Patrick, now that it's action combat?
Final Fantasy 15 was the only one I beat, so I guess yeah.
Are you gonna play have you played the 7 remake?
I played the 7 remake. It was okay. I would say it was alright.
What about it is just okay? Is you didn't like the story as much, maybe?
The graphics were amazing. The story was pretty good. The combat, I didn't like that much.
Isn't it the exact same as 15?
No. 15, you have the like your helpers, like you have the boost strikes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In 7, it's more of like I don't even know. It's not really like any game.
They try to galaxy brain it too much. Too special. Interesting.
I want to ask real quick, Patrick. Do you prefer JRPGs over Western RPGs? Like what's your preference there, and why do you have that preference?
By Western RPGs, do you mean like God of War,
like Skyrim?
Yeah, I mean like Skyrim. Oh, gotcha. like Bethesda RPGs or
Fallout.
Yeah, Fallout. Like, that's kind of games I think of. Yeah.
Okay. I love the Elder Scrolls series. They're super fun. And I like JRPGs just as much.
Would you say it would be like the main difference between like Western RPGs and JRPGs?
Probably just the amount of like exposition and like lore that they provide. Like in Western, you have the option of going through the lore if you really wanted to. Like, it's on the side. If you want to like look at the descriptions, you can, but they don't like kind of like they don't really force you to, I guess. In Japanese, it's more little bit more forced. Like, they want to, whatever they want you to see, they'll, like, make you see. And I think their character development in Japanese RPGs are, like, a lot better.
I think I know what you mean. In a lot of those games that we described, Brian, the lore is just written places. Like, you'll go somewhere and there's like a piece of paper on the ground that you can just read. It's very optional. Everything is very optional in terms of how much of the lore you really want to be immersed in. They kind of just let you do whatever you want for the most part. Even while you're following the storyline, you kind of just do whatever you want. And then if you want to skip through the dialogue, you just do that too. I mean, I guess you can skip into RPGs too, but like Patrick said, I think from the little JRPGs I've played, they put you in the story and you are there with them. there's no getting out.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, because I think about like World of Warcraft versus Final Fantasy 14, and it's like World of Warcraft, I don't even know. I think I played that game for years before I got into the story. Even now, most people just click accept the quest, don't read the story, they don't watch the cutscenes. There's really not even that many cutscenes in World of Warcraft compared to like Final Fantasy 14, where in FF14, it's like a ton of cutscenes from the very beginning. Like, there's so much story and story content in Final Fantasy 14 that there'd be long stretches where you're not even attacking stuff. You're just like reading and like learning about different characters. And like streamers have been getting into Final Fantasy 14, and everyone who plays FF14 say, like, if you don't read the story, like if you skip the story, you're not going to have a good time, almost, like, because that's how important the story is for that game, you know what I mean? Which, like, as a World of Warcraft player, is like bananas to me, right? It's like, what? Like, most people don't even know what's going on in World of Warcraft. So I think that's a good point Patrick made. Like, yeah, it does seem like with JRPGs, story is like way much more important than in Western RPGs.
Which is interesting for me, because I mean, I love story-based games. You would think I would really like what we're saying here. But I think my problem is the lag between action, the time between action and action, like that middle bit where you're just sitting in the story, always feels too long for me. Like, I started playing Tales of Arise, and I didn't actually start fighting anything until like 10, almost 15 minutes into the game. And that just felt really weird. I felt like I wasn't doing anything. I was just kind of watching things unfold. And then they're like, oh, walk to this place. And I'm like, okay. I walked forward, went to another place, and then more talking happened. I'm like, I haven't played the game yet. So we're like 20 minutes in. I haven't played the game yet. So it takes a little getting used to, which is like, I guess my next question goes into, what's your favorite and least, I guess we went over favorite already. What's your least favorite thing about JRPGs? Is there anything about them that as soon as it happens, you're kind of like, eh, that's a buzzkill for me? I know we talked about turn-based combat and random encounters, but since they don't all have that, what's something that you feel it's pretty universal that you just not a great big fan of when it comes to JRPGs?
I think starting the JRPGs is probably the hardest part, because like you were saying, like the beginning of like pretty much every JRPG I've played is very slow, right? So like the first 15, maybe even 30 minutes, not a lot of gameplay, a lot of exposition. And sometimes it's pretty hard to get past. But like once that ball starts rolling, you get to like 3-5 hours in, gets like really good.
Rigram, that kills me. Whenever someone says, you need to finish a game for 5 hours before you have fun, I'm just like, what are you talking about?
It's so true, though. I think of, like, every JRPG. Like, I was just thinking about how I started playing Kingdom Hearts 3 for the first time a few months ago, and I couldn't get past the intro because, yeah, it was just, like, a ton of cutscenes, kind of, like, run here. I was like, when am I just going to, like, fight things? It's driving me crazy.
We're just dumb Americans.
I know. You just want to hit things. I just want to hit things. I'm going to turn off my brain and shoot things.
You have a question, Brigham?
Oh, well, I mean, I didn't really have much more in general terms. I kind of want to talk about a Japanese game. Well, not a Japanese game, an Asian game, a Korean game that came out this week.
Okay. I got one more before we go specific into the specific game. I had one more question here. Where do you think is a good starting point for new players that want to get into JRPGs? What's an easy JRPG to get into that can like introduce you to the world, I guess, to the genre? Ooh. For someone like, is it for me, if you were trying to introduce me to a JRPG, what would you say I could stand?
I'd probably say like Nier Automata, because it has like a lot of the, like, it's really flashy. There's a dodge mechanic, an action RPG, and like you're pretty much thrown into the game like right at the start. You're just like shooting stuff, hitting things with your swords.
I heard a lot about this game too.
I actually just learned about this game like a few weeks ago from Patrick. Because I think we were talking about JRPGs, and he's just like, oh, have you played Nier? I'm like, I've never heard that before in my life. And then he was like, yeah, this is a pretty popular, I guess it's a pretty popular franchise. Which is, yeah. Would you say, this is not a random question, what are the, like, your top three franchises in terms of JRPGs? Because, I mean, I guess there are franchises like Final Fantasy. And since you're not a huge fan of that, what are the ones that you like a lot?
The Tales of series is probably my favorite by far. I like Tales of Arise, Symphonia, Berseria.
Tales of Arise has a game that came out recently that Patrick grinded for, what was it, 90 hours?
Oh my gosh.
No, Arise I did for 60 hours for Platinum.
Ah, so was Berseria, it Persona?
Berseria was like 90 though.
Oh, okay.
Persona 5 was 110, I think.
Oh, man. And that's a game that looks really interesting to me. I do want to play that game at some point, Persona 5. But yeah, I've heard that game is very, very long.
Yep. And I can't imagine putting that many hours into a single-player game. I think the closest I've ever got to that was maybe Cyberpunk. I played that for a while. How much did I put? I think I put like 60, 70 hours in that game. Yeesh. I don't know, man. Crazy.
I actually do have one other question. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Cut
you off. Yeah, I was going to ask Patrick, what do you think is like one of the biggest misconceptions around JRPGs that just kind of annoys you, that you like to kind of clear the air now that you have your soapbox here?
I don't know. Like, what? I don't know what people think about JRPGs. I don't really ask people, because like people that I hang out with all really like JRPGs, so...
You gotta step out of your bubble, Patrick.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to think of one. I don't know, Herb. Do you have one on top of your head?
I think sometimes some people think they're pay to win. Maybe.
Yeah, like gacha games.
People think all JRPGs are gacha games. I feel like I've heard of that stereotype before, and well, they're not.
Really? I have not heard that one before.
I pretty much assume every JRPG was a gacha game for a while until I was a little bit more exposed. That, and like, I thought every JRPG was a mobile game for a while. It was like, oh, it's a freaking mobile game. Like, no.
Yeah. I think my biggest misconception is that JRPGs don't have that good of storylines. Like, even though the story is long and like there's a lot of exposition and world building, the actual story itself is like overly complicated. I don't know. I mean, obviously, Patrick, you don't think this because you play JRPGs, but would you say that almost all of JRPGs have like a very, I don't want to say convoluted, but very like, very complicated storyline? Or are there JRPGs that have much more like simplified storylines, kind of like something on the line of like, you know, maybe even I'm trying to like Western games that have like a simple story, like God of War is kind of like a straight through linear game. Are there JRPGs like that, or it's just like a contained simple story?
Yeah, for sure. There are definitely some out there with like a pretty like containable story. Is like, oh, you're here, you're saving the world, there you go, you know.
Yeah Okay,
they exist, Brigham. There are dozens of them. Literally dozens. All right, so I guess we can talk about the hot topic of this week, which is the new JRPG that's been out. what the hell is it called? Lost Ark. I've already forgotten. Lost Ark came out. It's coming out this weekend for everyone, right? And then it's on an early release right now. We're recording this.
I mean, like, we're recording this on the 9th of February, so it comes out on Friday, the 11th.
So, but people are already playing it. Streamers are going crazy. Every MMO streamer that I had that I follow is like, oh my god, Lost Ark is out. Give us first impressions, Patrick. Lost Ark. How is it?
Korean MMO, pretty good. Pretty good so far. I'm enjoying it. Graphics, amazing. Gameplay feels pretty nice. Yeah. It's like you're playing League with one character, and you're out in the world just doing stuff.
Have you played Diablo? Would you say it's similar-ish to Diablo?
Slower paced, less mobs, but I like the skills more than Diablo, for sure.
Yeah, because watching it, especially got that pseudo... It's got that arena style, like you said, like League of Legends, the pseudo top-down view, and you kind of just click around in these dungeon-type areas and just kill enemies. So I'm like, the first thing I thought was like, this looks like Diablo, but a lot less clicking, and yeah, like you said, less mobs. So that was my first comparison. What I know you've been playing it, Superingham. What's your quick
impressions? Pleasantly surprised. I mean, I've been excited about this game for a while. It's been out in Korea for years now, I think, and people have talked a lot about it. So whenever the announcement came that Amazon was going to be publishing a North America or a Western version of it, I was very excited about that. And even though I was excited, though, I kind of had some hesitations, mainly because it is a free-to-play game. And I guess the hesitations I have still exist because it mainly has to do with end game. I've heard that there's a lot of pay to win in the game, that once you get to max level, you're kind of timed on how much time you can play per character for free. Or I don't know the whole details of it, so I don't want to like say something that's false. But from what I've played so far, I agree with Patrick. The combat feels amazing. The isometric kind of view, that top-down view that has similar to League of Legends, works for the game really well, and like the art looks so good. I just think of it as what I wish Path of Exile was. If you ever play Path of Exile, it's like Diablo as well, you know, action RPG, MMO. But Path of Exile is super complicated. This game is like the kind of player like you enjoy Diablo, but you wanted more. You know what I mean? You wanted better combat. You wanted like more things to do. That's what this game delivers. And the thing that surprised me the most of this game is the story. Like, I don't know all the details of the story because I don't read all the quest text, but I get a gist of it enough from some reading I do and from watching the cutscenes that I'm actually invested in the story, and I'm looking forward to knowing what happens next. And I definitely did not expect that, because whenever I play MMO, the last thing I care about is the story. So being actually caring about the story makes leveling so much more fun. And leveling doesn't take that long either. I haven't put that much time into it, but I'm already like level 19, I want to say. So, and max level is level 50. So yeah, it's not bad. I highly recommend it, Herb. I think you should definitely try it out, because it's going to be around for a while, I think.
I don't know, Ram. The last one was New World. I gave that one to you.
That's true.
We lasted like a month.
from the beta, though, we played the beta and we're like, oh, this game's good, but there's problems. You know what I mean? Like, there was like issues. This game, I really don't see any issues so far. Like, I can see where they'll be at end game, but as far as leveling goes and in the combat, it's so nice.
What do you think, Patrick, about Brigham's concerns? Have you seen that? Are you max level? What level are you?
I am currently 44.
Oh, woo! Wow, you're far.
Yeah, I know a couple people are already 50. I feel like it's going to be around for a while. Did you see how many the Twitch viewers were on like yesterday?
Yeah, it was getting some crazy numbers. It might still be getting crazy numbers. Let me look at it right now. Right now, it's at 388,000 viewers total. It is topping the freaking charts. It is second only to Just Chatting, which is at 539,000.
It hit 1 million viewers yesterday at launch.
That's crazy. Oh my goodness, this is way bigger than I thought it was. Patrick, do you have any like the things that Brigham brought up about Endgame and pay to win and stuff like that? Are you seeing that? Like your friends that are level 50, are they seeing any problems so far in the Endgame? Because that's one of my biggest reservations about playing these kind of games is that I'll enjoy the leveling process and then I get to Endgame and I just have nothing to do, or it feels too much like a part-time job. It's a hard balance between giving me something to do and not being tedious. Where are you on that?
Right. Well, I haven't got to the end game yet, but I have heard there are dailies and like things that you should be doing at the end game, like daily dungeons and stuff. So that can be very part-time jobby. As for like the pay-to-win stuff, I think it's just to accelerate, and I don't think it's going to be entirely pay-to-win. And I feel like it doesn't even matter because the PvP is all equivalent. Like, there's no point in getting, you know, the best gear in the game unless you really want it. Just to clear dungeons faster.
Hold on, there's PvP in this game?
There is PvP in the game.
Whoa, that kind of changes things a little bit. I might be into that.
Really?
Yeah, there's a rank system too.
Whoa, oh, rank system? That. Oh, now we're talking. I can pwn some kids?
You can.
Okay.
I've seen videos of the raids too. The raids in this game, Lost Ark, seem intense, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw this one guy's video of the raids, and it was like so many mechanics going on, but it looked fun. It looked really fun. And that's what I'm looking forward to at Endgame for sure, is trying out the raids.
I am as well. I heard like some of the raids can last multiple hours, and like if people need to leave, you like boot them from the party and like more people can come in at certain checkpoints or something like that.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know how I like that. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I need some like checkpoints or something. At least make like World of Warcraft where you can like come back, it like resets weekly. But yeah, that is crazy though. Yeah.
Can you, if you leave the raid at a certain progression, when you come back, do you have to start over, or do you? We gotta check back on this. This can be a disclaimer.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. I just hear rumors.
That's every gamer ever, by the way. I heard a rumor. Okay. I mean, all right. We'll see. I'll give it a try. I'll give it a shot. I am a gamer, so I'll give most things a try. And this is too big of a game to just ignore, to be honest. Because, shoot, a million viewers on Twitch? I can't remember the last time that happened. Can you?
No. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last time there was a million viewers for a game. I'm sure, I think it happened with the classic WoW, the original like vanilla classic WoW launch, just because it was such like a big thing. And I saw a ton of people streaming it just because, you know, playing classic WoW again after 20 years or whatever was a huge deal. But even then, it lasted for a day, and that you know, went like a fart in the wind. The fact that this game still has viewers, I mean, it's only day two. We'll see how it looks in a couple weeks. But I definitely think this game was going to be bigger than New World.
Yeah, New World had a...
Which sucks, because I kind of miss that game. Like, that game has good bones.
Yeah, good bones. Tall mountain to climb. Yeah. Tall mountain to climb. Yeah, I mean, that's Lost Ark. Everyone out there, give it a shot. If you like it or not, we'll find out. Because that's the thing about these MMOs, man. They rarely stand the test of time. Because like I said earlier, it's really hard to design an end game for RPGs. It's just really hard. And it's a free-to-play game, so we'll see how they end up handling it, man. Because they got to make money somehow. So we just hope it's not some, like we said before, a pay-to-win version of it.
Yeah, well, I've already been considering buying a pet because you can get pets in the game. Right? You get a pet for free, and the pet will pick up your loot for you. But I think there's pets you can buy in the cash shop that will make teleporting these like waystone areas free, which sounds kind of nice.
I think that's the aura, like that 30-day aura thing.
Oh, is that what that is? Yeah. Okay, I saw that. I didn't know it was like a pet. Oh, so that's an aura. So that's only 30 days. That's interesting. Okay. Still.
Okay. I have no idea what we're talking about. Okay.
You can also buy, I don't know if it's out yet, but I saw an option you can buy like a boost to level 50. I don't think they have it out yet.
Already a boost?
No, I just saw the option, but I couldn't find how to actually purchase it, or like how much it costs.
Are you talking about the Power Pass?
Yeah.
You get one character to 50, they let you accelerate two other characters to 50 using a Power Pass.
Okay, and you have to pay for the Power Pass?
No, it's free.
Oh, man, good. I looked it up on. I'm glad you were here because I totally thought that was like a boost. I was looking up online about it and stuff, and I was like, huh, this is interesting. Okay, so that's interesting. So once you get a character to max level, they give you two other ones to 50 or to 40, whatever. Is it 40 or 50? I don't know.
I think it's 50.
50 for free. That's interesting. That's really cool, though.
Hmm. Okay. Well, my last thing here is, Patrick, I mean, you said this already, like, your GOAT, greatest of all time JRPG, would it be the Tell series? Do you have a singular Tell game that's, would you say, is the best? Or do you have another JRPG that would you say is the greatest of all time? What's your GOAT?
It'd have to be probably Tales of Vesperia.
Number is that in the series? Which game?
I have no idea what number it is, but it was originally on the Xbox 360, but they made a remaster for it, and it's on the Steam PC as well as the PS4, I believe.
Okay. Well, there you go. Discuss it. Discuss it on Twitter, I guess. If he's wrong, if he's right, Tales of Vesperia. Oh,
didn't Tales of Arise like win some game at the Game Awards?
Yeah, it won
Best RPG.
Best RPG.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about that game before, and I feel like I heard that game a lot. So maybe I'll even try that game out at some point. I don't know.
We talked about it the last 3 weeks, right? Every time we bring it up, every time we talk about RPGs, we talk about Tales of Arise.
You took a picture of your TV and sent it to me and John, the first guest we had on the podcast, and he pointed out that you had the Tales of Arise by your TV, and he was freaking out because he plays JRPGs. Now, you said you bought it from a friend. Was that Patrick's?
Yeah, I bought it from Patrick.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. Full circle.
I bought it from Patrick. Played it for like an hour and a half, and I was like, I can't do this.
You gotta make it to the 3 to 5 hour mark, man.
Yeah, dude.
It's so long. It's just so much talking.
I mean, if you can play through Death Stranding, I think you can do 3 hours of Tales of Arise.
Death Stranding, they get you walking immediately. Say what you will. You get walking immediately. And then eventually people start running at you. It's crazy.
Yeah, 20 hours in, they give you a pistol that you can shoot your urine with. Your urine at people.
Oh, man.
Great.
Yeah, I don't know. And I started to and then the thing happened that you said, Brigham. It's freaking random encounter combat. It's not turn-based, at least, because if it was random encounter and it was turn-based, I would have turned it off after 10 minutes. I wouldn't have made it. I would not have made it. But Patrick told me it was an action combat system. I was like, okay, there's a chance. But Patrick did tell me that it was random encounters. I had to learn that.
Random encounters?
What are you talking about? It's not random encounters, but it's encounters. You like have to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Instanced encounters, yes.
Yeah. You have to like walk into the people, and then it teleports you to the little fighting area.
But it's not random though. You don't have to walk into them.
Yeah, don't have to walk into them. You can walk around. I just put them there. Just let me fight them there. I don't understand why we have to go to a different universe to fight the enemies.
And have an even playing field.
I don't know, man. And you gotta sit there and wait for the little loading.
it's because the combat and the walking are two completely different controls.
Yeah, it almost feels like two different engines almost. It's like, this isn't about bashing JRPGs, so let's not go down that way. This is a celebration.
I mean, you have me intrigued. I am going to try out this game at some point, Tales of Arise. I'm definitely going to try Nier Automata. I've heard a lot about that game. I think it's time I try it out as well.
Okay. Well, all right, Patrick.
We will report back on that.
All right, Patrick. So at the end here, do you have any hot takes that you want to put out, or do you have any grievances? You've listened to, I think, all the episodes. Do you have any grievances that we've said that you disagree with in terms of like our hot takes or our opinions, or do you have one of your own that you want to put out into the world and have people be angry about?
I'd have to think about it.
I'll take a second. We can cut it out. We can cut out the waiting part.
What were your guys' hot takes?
I mean, I feel we've been getting bashed over JRPGs for a while. That's a big one.
I think my biggest hot take, sorry, I'll skip. My biggest hot take, I think, is I am that kind of person where if I'm not interested in a game in like the first, I would even say like 30 minutes, I'm usually out. And I see people get really annoyed with that statement because they're like, well, does that mean when you read a book, if you don't like the book in the first three pages, then you're gone? That's exactly how I am. If I read a book and I don't even get through the first chapter, it's the first few pages. If I'm not hooked, I'm out. Yeah. So
that's a big commitment.
Yeah.
I think another one of ours was we don't like Dark Souls games. That's a big one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dark Souls games are great.
I was actually hearing a argument for them saying that someone was saying that people have this idea that Dark Souls games are like impossibly difficult, and that's like what they're known for. But in reality, if you just play it and you know learn the controls, it's not as hard as you would think it is. Is that a true statement, Patrick?
That is a very true statement, I believe.
Yeah. What's give us an example then? What?
First run of Dark Souls 3. Absolutely destroyed. Pretty much every boss killed me, like, you know, in the double digits amount of times. Second playthrough, I think I finished within like 2 or 3 hours.
Wait, wow. What?
Yeah,
the game is way longer than 2 or 3 hours.
If you know how everything works, you just go to the bosses. The game is very, very fast.
Oh wow. I guess it makes sense. I know a streamer called Happy Hob. He does no hit runs where he'll do whatever combination of bosses and he'll just try not to get hit ever. And if he does it right, he can get through it in the stream in like 8 to 10 hours, I guess, if he actually hits it. But he rarely does, which is why he gets content. Yeah, I mean, that's it. You got anything else? You have a hot take of your own?
I don't think you guys have played it because it is a Souls-like game, but I don't think Sekiro is that good of a game.
Really?
Yeah, that's a warm take. That's a warm take. But I do know other people that don't like it, so it's not like I haven't heard people not like it before.
I feel like the game's like critically acclaimed, though.
Yeah, it is. It is well received.
Yeah. Why don't you like that game?
It is a Souls-like game, but I feel like a lot of the Souls games give you a variety of things you can do to fight certain bosses. Like in Dark Souls, you can use like a plethora of weapons, you can use magic, tons of spells. Where in Sekiro, you're just literally, you have a katana, you dodge and you attack, and you parry.
Yeah, it's very straightforward. What about Bloodborne? Do you like Bloodborne?
I have not played it.
Okay, well. I heard that's like a good beginner Souls game. Like I've heard that one's easier than other ones. Yeah. But it's scary, so I won't play that.
Are you gonna play Elden Ring, Patrick?
100%.
Oh,
yeah. Probably not much.
He's the perfect guest for this. This is all.
Yeah, maybe we'll bring you back on when Elden Ring comes out, because I don't think either of us are playing that game.
I'm getting. I'm kind of getting pressured into it. We'll see.
Really?
Yeah. I do have a friend that's a huge Souls fan. I have a couple of friends that are huge Souls fans. And they're very excited for Elden Ring. And they're like, at least play Bloodborne so you can get ready for Elden Ring. It's like, first of all, if I play Elden Ring, I'm not going to play another Souls game to get ready for Elden Ring. I'm not going to double up on the Souls experience. Because I can barely handle one. So definitely going to do two. We'll see. We'll see how I do it. Death Stranding, and then Horizon Zero Dawn is Horizon Forbidden West coming out this month, so no promises on the Elden Ring. I got other things to do. You got anything else, Brigham?
No, yeah, that's it. Thank you again for Patrick for coming on and enlightening us with your JRPG knowledge.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
We hope that this is a little bit of retribution for all the times we bashed on it, and hope people enjoyed that. Yeah, that's all we got. If you enjoyed the show, give us a follow on Twitter at BasementGaming9. Yes, that is the number 9. Don't worry about it. And on your podcast listening app of choice. With that being said, thanks for listening, and come back next time.
Peace.